Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, I hope you're having a wonderful week, and if you have been hit by this snowstorm, I hope you're warm and safe and that you don't have to get out in this mess. We've been in, this is our fourth day. Luckily, we have not lost power, so yay for that. I don't have a ton of announcements. I am working on some new online courses, webinars, so if you have any interest, be sure that you're signing up for our newsletter, where you will get all the information on a weekly basis, plus coupon codes, specials, free courses, all that good stuff. So be sure you sign up for our newsletter. You can find the information in the show notes, or just go to the website, dogspeak101.com. If you've been with me for however long, you know that Gray has been with me for quite some time. Gray is my other trainer. He has spent, I guess, maybe 8-9 years with me now. Well, Gray has done a wonderful job with his teaching manners and the service dog work. Just an amazing, amazing trainer. He has decided to go on his own, so he is no longer with Dog Speak, but I promise you, he is still a Dog Speak geek, and he will continue to do a wonderful job for you and your pet. So if you're local and you need someone for your manners, obedience, Gray is definitely your go-to, and you can reach out to me, and I'll be happy to pass that information along. I, as Dog Speak, will still be doing some manners and training, but I mostly deal with behavior, so that is kind of really where I'm focused, and I'm so busy with behavior, I don't really have time to go teach the sit, stay, and down come heel things, so I'm really proud of him, and I'm grateful that I had him for as long as I did, and I wish him and his family the absolute best. Okay, let's see. I don't think I really have anything else. So I guess we'll just get right into it. Today, I want to just have a quick conversation about food. I know that trying to figure out what you're going to feed your dog is very challenging. All right, you see all these commercials, you hear from your vet, you hear from your friends, whatever, you know, food you used to feed growing up. There's just a lot of information out there, and unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there. So I'm going to break down understanding dog food a little bit more today. Now, this isn't going to be as in-depth as it would be if Tiffany was here, but she's just too busy. And so I thought, I'm going to just do a quick one of this, because I know that the questions come up a lot on, why are these ingredients okay and these ingredients are not? Why is this company, their ingredients look like the same ingredients from this company? Why are they not equal? So I am going to get into that a little bit more and help you to understand what you're looking at when you're looking at dog food. And I'm going to focus mostly on kibble today, because that is what is fed in the majority. But please know that kibble is not the healthiest. Homemade diets, raw diets, these are much healthier and you can control so much more. But I know that kibble is convenient. And so that's where I'm going to really focus my attention today, is on that kibble, just to help you guys find the best version for yourself if you're not able to do a homemade diet or raw diet. But even if you're feeding a kibble, there are ways to increase your dog's immune system and capability of digestion, and just to make them the healthiest version of themselves. You guys know how important nutrition is if you've listened to me at all. I believe that nutrition is the core of everything. It's the core behavior, the core of physical capabilities, the core of good rest, the core of problem solving. If you don't have good gut health, if you have gut issues, stomach issues, GI tract issues, if you have those issues, you know what I'm talking about, that it is very challenging for you to get your day-to-day done in a consistent and efficient way when you have gut health issues. You can complain when you don't feel good. When a food has caused you something, you can remember what that food was. You can start to kind of get an idea that certain things make you sick or make you not feel good or just kind of make you feel draggy. Well, our dogs can't do that. Our dogs can show us through their behavior, such as hyperactivity, a short fuse, maybe, you know, they're grumpy. They don't problem solve very well. They're not interested in learning new games or new skills. They don't play well. They may not even sleep well. These are signs that your dog is possibly not having the best nutrition for their system. Now, yes, dogs will eat their food on a regular basis because it's survival. They need to eat. They need to live. But if your dog is not eating consistently and enthusiastically, or you're having some behavior issues and concerns, we need to look at that food. So many questions I see online about my dog is behaving this way and this way and this way, and we've done all the training and we've done this, but they're just hyperactive. We can't, you know, they can't settle down. Should I look at medication? And my first question is always, because it seems like no one asks this question, my first question is always going to be, what are you feeding your dog? What are you feeding them? Because I don't care how much training you've done. I don't care how many techniques you've used, what tools you use, how long you've spent on training. I don't care how good your treats are. If your dog does not have a healthy gut, you're really trying to steer your canoe up the river. And it's not going to be an easy process. So how do we figure out what the right food is? First, let's talk about what you're seeing on the bag. Because I think when we look at ingredients, we have to look at the individual dog on what ingredient works best for them, right? What do they do well with? As an example, I started to figure out that chicken was not a great thing for Willow because after she ate chicken, she was a psycho. And so I started to put those dots together that chicken was creating some behavior that was not normal on a level of her age, right? Of course, there's some psycho behavior I'm going to get with adolescents, but it wasn't normal. And so I really started to pay attention and I realized chicken was not good. And when I did her five strands sensitivity test, chicken came back as one of her inflammatories. The five strands test was really a wonderful confirmation for me, but it also gave me a lot of good information on what else she needs to not have. I found that the probiotic that I was giving her was not the right probiotic for her. It was actually one of her inflammatories. So if you have a dog who seems to have some behavior concerns, or they're not eating consistently, or you're just noticing some itchy skin or flaky skin, eye gunk, ear issues, licking their paws, licking the rest of their body, excessive grooming, things of that nature, then your dog probably has ingredients that they are ingesting that's causing inflammation. And over time, that's going to really hurt the immune system, and it's going to get into the joints, into the tendons, the muscles. Everything is going to be affected in a negative way. Many of my clients get their information prior to seeing me on what to feed through their vet, the breeder, the rescue organization, the foster home, but they don't really do the research themselves. And I understand, because there is a lot of information out there and a lot of misinformation out there. Understand that the marketing aspect that you'll see on TV and in ads across boards, those are going to be coming from a sense of making the human want that food. If you look at any dog food bag. A lot of times they have these beautiful ingredients on the front bag, and they say things like human grade and natural, holistic. All of that is just marketing towards you. There's not a whole lot of rules that have to be followed in order for someone to put on their bag, for a company to put on their bag, natural, human grade, holistic, vet recommended. It could be one vet that recommends this food, and it could be the vet that helped develop the food. But yet they can put vet recommended. So marketing is all about you. They're not thinking about the individual dog. Your veterinarian, unfortunately, doesn't get a ton of nutritional education in school. They do get information on nutrition to help with certain diseases. As an example, they learn what a good diet would be for a dog or a cat who has kidney disease, but they don't truly understand the whole concept of nutrition. Well, they may understand it if they do continuing education, but that's not what they're getting. It's not like they're going to school for nutrition. They're just getting information on how that food can help with this certain disease. If they want to truly understand nutrition, they're going to have to do continuing education, and they're going to have to go and get extra schooling for that. So just like if I wanted to find the best diet for me to reach my goals for weightlifting and cardio and those type of goals, I'm not going to go ask my dentist. I'm not going to go ask my general practitioner. I'm not going to go ask my chiropractor, right? I'm going to go to someone who specializes in nutrition, but not just nutrition for like weight loss, but nutrition for building goals, building muscle and bulking up, or, you know, thinning out. You have to make sure you're talking to someone who's truly knowledgeable with nutrition. Don't just take your grandma's advice, your mom's advice, or your neighbor's advice. And especially if you go to like a pet store, be sure that that employee at the pet store truly understands nutrition and isn't just spouting off information that they have been getting from the representative that came in to sell the food to them. We want somebody who truly understands food. And if you are interested in the foods we recommend, our list is put together by Tiffany at Thrive at the farm at Natchez Trace. She is a canine nutrition specialist, and she puts our list together based on the ingredient list, the quality of the ingredients, the companies, and if things are even being ethically sourced. So she puts a lot of work into putting this list together. And sometimes the foods that were on a list a year ago are no longer on the list because they've sold to another company, which means that the recipe may not change, but the quality of ingredients will change. And so that company gets removed from the list. If you want our list, you can get it through our Dog Speak Geek website. You can get through there, dogspeak101.com, dogspeakgeek.com. thinkific.com. You can also just go to the link in the show notes, but you can download our recommended list of food, and this includes kibble, canned, dehydrated, frozen, raw. You can do all of that for free and get our recommended list. So be sure you go and do that if you need that list. There's no single best food, right? There's not one food I'm going to say across the board, this is the food I recommend. Because it truly is about the individual dog, the individual needs, the size of the dog, genetics of the dog, but also it's the budget of the human, right? Their capability, their time, right? If you have time to cook for your dog, I'm going to recommend cooking for your dog. If you don't have time to cook for your dog, okay, you're not a bad parent. You're not a bad dog owner. Let's find the next best thing that we can do based on your budget, your time, and your ability to do what you need to do to ensure that your dog is the healthiest version of themselves. So don't think that, you know, if you can't feed a certain food, you're a bad dog owner. That is not what this is about. I have seen dogs with the best food out there being a homemade diet. But again, if we're not feeding the right protein and the right fruits and veggies, then the dog is going to have trouble if it's on their list, that causes inflammation. And inflammation is a main issue that we're talking about, that over time, this buildup of inflammatory foods will cause inflammation across the board in your dog, creating illnesses, lack of immune system, and all those other things we talked about before. I'm not going to, I know I keep repeating myself because it is important to understand how behavior changes with food. It's not just about physical health. It's so much about behavior itself. When we're looking at ingredients of food, you've probably heard over time that we need to look at the top five ingredients of food. Those top five ingredients are what is mainly in your food. Now, you could go past that and look at everything that's listed prior to the word salt. Anything that's listed on an ingredient list after salt has less than 1% in the food, which cracks me up when I look at these foods that claim that they have blueberries in the food, and you see on this bag these beautiful pictures of fresh blueberries, and you think, oh, I'm going to give this to my dog, and then you look, and it's under salt, which means it's less than 1% of the food. To me, that's a little bit of false advertisement. In other words, those blueberries are not really going to create anything good in your dog. On the other side of that is if your dog has an inflammatory response to a blueberry, you're probably still okay in small amounts giving your dog that blueberry because it's such a small amount in the food. So ingredients are listed for the top five. They are listed by weight, which means that they were whatever is listed first is the ingredient with the majority of the weight for the food. However, they weigh this prior to cooking. So if chicken is listed, it may seem like, okay, the main ingredient in this food is chicken. But once you cook chicken, the amount of protein that's left is so small that many times companies are adding other types of protein like plant protein to keep the price down, but adding plant protein to keep the protein percentage up, but it's not quality protein. So chicken is majority of it is water. So it's like 73% of it's water. So which means that if you have a food that has chicken listed first, but then you have a list of like four carbs or four grains or whatever right after that, well, guess what? Your dog is your dog food's mostly grain based. It's not a high protein diet, not even a quality protein diet. I want to look at an ingredient list of a very well known food that is oftentimes recommended, and majority of my clients, when they come to see me, this is what they're feeding, and I quickly remove them. Now, these foods that I'm going to pick out are not only foods that I am seeing used on a regular basis, but there's a company online that sells dog food, and they have their own veterinarians on staff, and so they went through all the foods that, I guess that they're selling, which is kind of disappointing because when I see the list, they're all crappy brands. But these are vet recommended foods. And I'm shocked. I'm shocked that any of these actually made the list. So let's pick out the first one. And it's our vet pick best in show dog food. And this is what they picked as their best in show. And it's the Hill's Science Diet Adult Chicken and Barley Recipe. Now, I want to break down the ingredients and let's talk about the food and talk about why it's such an issue when you're looking at the ingredients but not understanding how it works. So let's just break it down. So the first ingredient of the chicken and barley is chicken. But again, it was chicken prior to cooking. The next four ingredients: cracked pearled barley, brown rice, brewer's rice, whole grain wheat, and whole grain corn. So when you're looking at that top five list, weighed before cooking, and then now we have this list, you're not feeding a chicken food. You're feeding a food that is a whole grain blend. It's got mixed whole grains in it as the top. In the top five, four of them are grains, and then you have your protein. So you're not really feeding a protein-based food. So how do we get the 23.5% protein that they have on here? Well, let's move down a little bit. We have corn protein meal, chicken meal, chicken liver flavor, but you can't even include that really into the protein. And then if we keep going down, we have more whole grain oats. And then you have, oh, at least that's after the salt. And then after the salt, you have all of these supplements. You got vitamin E, vitamin C, vitamin A, calcium, biotin, B12. And we ask, well, why do we have to add all those in? It's because the kibble is so cooked, the food is so cooked that once it's being cooked, you lose the nutrients and the minerals. And so it has to be put back in a form of individual vitamins, which are typically not a good quality. So you can see that feeding a food like this, it makes me wonder, why do you pick this as the best food? If you're a veterinarian, if you understand just any sense of health, why would you pick this food? It is not even close to being a food that is going to be healthy for a dog. They need quality protein and not so many grains. Now, we are going to talk about grain versus grain-free, but that's going to be just a little bit farther down the line. Now, let's break down another one, and this is going to be the best in show dog food, and this is another one that I hear a lot of my clients do feed before they come to see me, and I quickly change that, and that is Purina Pro Plan. So this is the Purina Pro Plan shredded blend chicken and rice formula with probiotics. So they are thinking that this is like the best in show dry dog food. So let's look at the ingredients and let's just see how healthy this is. Now it's at 26% protein. Let's see if there's actually any real good protein in there. So we have the first five ingredients: chicken, rice, whole grain wheat, poultry byproduct meal, whole grain corn. So let's break it down. Our chicken first, but again, it's cooked. You've left with very little protein. Then you have your rice and whole grain wheat. There are our grains again. Poultry byproduct meal. Now we're going to talk about meal versus, the whole ingredient versus the meat meal. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but just understand that poultry byproduct meal can be anything. That byproduct can be what you think it is. It can be toes, toenails, beaks. Yes. Then you have whole grain corn. So again, you see not a whole lot of real quality protein in there. So where are they getting the protein percentages for 26%? Probably adding in the corn protein meal as a part of it. They do have fish meal right before salt. And then you have your minerals and vitamins added back, and it's all because they have lost all of those minerals and vitamins during the cooking process. So already the top two foods are just low quality. Even if they're high quality ingredients from an ethically sourced farm, they're still, the ingredient list is still not healthy for your dog because it's all grain based. We need to start backing off some of this grain that we're feeding because it is really causing our dogs to have to work harder to digest, and they're not getting the amount of protein that they need for brain health. Protein is so important for brain health. You've got to have it. And that's why when we talk about foods for senior dogs, a lot of them had lower protein. And that is not the case. You need high protein. The brain still needs that protein. So don't be going to get a low protein food for your dog who is a senior because you're trying to cut back on the fat. Find something with lower fat and lower calories. And that's the other thing we talk about is calories, which I'll get into here in a little bit. Because the calories make a difference on what you're feeding per cup can be very different based on which food you get. So you can't just go buy one food and say, I feed three cups of food for my dog, and then I buy a different food and I'm going to just feed three cups and wonder why they're gaining weight or losing weight. Because every food is going to have a different calorie count per 8-ounce cup. It's important that you know what your dog needs versus how much calories per cup are in there. And of course, you could break it down even more and saying how many calories are coming from fat, how many calories are coming from carbs, how many calories are coming from protein, but that's a lot. And let's just get you started on understanding the ingredient list first. Now, when we look at the ingredients, sometimes you'll have whole ingredients versus ingredient splitting where, say, like the protein, the percentage of protein, maybe 26%, but that's going to come from a mix of animal protein and plant protein. Now, there is some plant protein that is absolutely just fine, but when plant protein is the majority of your protein, it's going to have wreak a little bit of a havoc in your dog's system. They need that animal protein. So make sure that you're looking at, if it's looking at 25% protein, where is that protein coming from? Is it the majority of animal protein or is the majority of it plant protein? And when we look at meat meals, some people get really nervous about meals, and there's been some interesting conversations around the past probably decade on what is better. Now, a meal is going to be a higher percentage of protein. However, when you're looking at meals, you want to make sure you're having a distinct meal, like a chicken meal, and not just a poultry meal. Right, you don't want to have just animal meal. You want, you know, beef meal. It needs to be specified instead of just generic, like poultry meal or fish meal, right? Well, fish meal, what fish is it? Is it whitefish? Is it salmon? Is it trout, haddock? What is it? So you want to make sure you're finding, if you see meal in there, just make sure it's specified. So let's talk about grains and grain-free. Does your dog need grains? Does your dog need grain-free? Well, it depends on the dog. And let's be real. When you look at grain-free, nothing is ever really going to be truly 100% grain-free. When you're looking, you want to make sure that if you are having a grain-inclusive diet, that the grain is not the majority of the food, like we just talked about. You have five ingredients, and four of them are grains. One's protein. So we know that that's going to be a more, a highly grain-inclusive diet. Instead of having a grain-free diet, where you're not having as many grains, you're going to have grains. Grain's going to come into the meat that's in there. There's going to be oftentimes grains from that, from just what that animal was eating. Now, just because it's grain-free does not mean that it is a good food, doesn't mean that it's got great ingredients, it doesn't even mean it has high-quality protein. So let's take a look at a grain-free ingredient list. And yes, we are going to talk about grain-free and the DCM panic. If you don't know what that is, we'll talk about it in just a minute. All right, so the one we're going to cover is going to be the Blue Buffalo, and it is the grain-free. It is deboned chicken, chicken meal, potatoes, peas, tapioca starch. And then after that, it's pea starch. And then pea protein after dried tomato pomace. So there's quite a bit of pea in there, and I know that's something that people are concerned about. Let's first talk about the ingredients of deboned chicken. Again, this is a great first ingredient, but we know that it's going to lose quite a bit of its protein because it's being cooked. And then your chicken meal, that's going to up your protein intake as well, which is going to be a better version of the deboned chicken. Your potatoes, which is your starch, your peas, adding that into the protein, your tapioca starch. Now, I know a lot of people look at tapioca and go, well, what is the, you know, what's the point of that? The thing with tapioca is it's a gluten-free starch, and it is used to help make the kibble. You have to have a starch, carbs to make kibble. And so you're never going to have a starch carb free. And tapioca is high in carbs, nearly like 89 grams per 100 gram serving, right? So you got a lot of carbs there in that top five list. But you also have some pretty decent protein in there. Your peas and your pea starch is also going to add into that protein. Now their protein is at 24%. So overall, it's not a bad list of the first five ingredients. What I want you to look at is, well, where does it come from, right? How many calories does it come in? How many calories per cup? How much am I going to be feeding? You know, when you look at a food and you have a 100-pound dog and you're supposed to be feeding 6 to 10 cups of food, that's a lot. And not only is that a problem with just you're feeding a lot of food, but imagine your dog having to digest 3 and 4 cups of food each meal. That's a lot of work on a system that is not set up to break down the type of kibble that we feed, or just kibble in general, right? It has to work a lot harder. And so that's why when we look at kibble, we say it's not the best. It's the most efficient, absolutely, but it's definitely not overall the best. Especially because you lose a lot of natural ingredients, or excuse me, not a lot of natural nutrients and minerals and vitamins because it's being cooked out and then they're having to add it back in, which is typically a lower quality of vitamin or mineral. I know your heads are probably swimming right now going, oh my God, and now I really don't know what to feed. Don't freak out. We're going to get there too. Let's talk about just for a second about grains. Grains are a type of carbohydrate, but not all carbs are grains. Carbs are one of the three main macronutrients alongside the protein and fat that we all kind of follow, right? We need a certain amount of fat, a certain amount of protein and carbs based on what we're doing. You know, carbs is going to give us that energy. It's going to give us a quick boost of energy. If we have some slower releasing carbs, that's much better because it's going to allow us a more steady of blood sugar, energy levels, and we're not going to get those spikes. Something like sugar, your simple carbs, they're going to provide quick energy, but you're going to get that crash. So yes, dogs do need to have some carbs for that energy, but again, it doesn't need to be the bulk of the recipe. The bulk of the recipe really needs to be a good animal protein and some quality plant protein. Should be okay. DCM, dilated cardiomyopathy, is the number two heart disease in dogs. And it creates an enlargement of the heart, causing the heart to beat much weaker. This was mostly seen as a hereditary issue in large breed dogs. But in early 2000, what I think it was 17, 18, we started seeing more cases of DCM in dogs that were not necessarily known to have it. And the majority of these cases, the one thing they had in common, they were eating more of a grain-free diet, which they love to call the boutique diet, which is, again, ridiculous, just trying to put a name to it to make it sound scary. They were trying to say that the peas, the amount of peas that were being used in these grain-free diets and potatoes were causing issues. Basically, DCM was being blamed on nutrition. But in reality, DCM has a lot of reasons. It can happen from infections. Like I said, it can happen genetically. It can happen because of a nutrient deficiency such as taurine or B1. Here's the thing. They made it such a huge deal that people started running away from grain-free foods and going back to the crappier foods that had so much grain in it, there was no room for good quality protein. It's not, you know, I'm not seeing anybody really cut back on boutique foods. I'm going to be honest with you. I think people are buying them more now than ever, and we're not seeing those issues. They were not able to actually correlate boutique foods, grain-free foods, peas. They could not link those together in order to say for sure that this is causing an issue. And that's why the FDA has not even updated the public since 2022. The thing about with DCM, is it a terrible disease? Absolutely. Did dogs die? Yes, they did. But here's the thing. Less than 1%. And I know that any loss is terrible, but it literally is like 0.0013% of all the dogs in the United States, just in the United States, have died from DCM. So it's not as rampant as people were thinking. I think, honestly, I personally believe that it was just a grab from some of the bigger dog food companies that make cheaper food because they saw people were moving away from their food and moving to these higher quality foods. And I think they panicked and wanted to find some type of reason. I have no proof of that. That is my opinion from just watching and reading and seeing how the process works. You should do your own research. I am not a veterinarian. I am not a nutritionist. I do a lot of reading and a lot of study, and I have a lot of education and knowledge. But when it comes to the specifics of your dog, you need to talk to someone that you trust, that has the knowledge, and that will be honest and open with you. I don't think that every dog needs to be on a grain-free diet. I think that grains are fine if they're not the bulk of the food. All right, so let's find a food that we recommend. I'm going to go look up a food that we recommend that is grain-free, and let's look at those ingredients, and let's compare. So I've picked Nature's Logic grain-free, and we're going to do the red recipe. Now, when we're looking at the red recipe, it features high-quality beef, pork, and lamb proteins. It has 97% of its protein is from meat sources. So there, I can go ahead and tell you that difference between some of these other foods versus what you're looking at as far as what is making up that protein. It has no legumes, potatoes, or synthetics in this. It has a 30% protein base. Now, when we break it down on the ingredients, let's look what it says. We have beef, beef meal, tapioca starch, pork fat, yeast culture. And then you have pork meal, lamb meal, dehydrated salmon, which is a source of taurine. And then it has sprayed dried pork liver, pumpkin seed flour, dried kale, and other ingredients that are needed to cook the kibble. There's no salt in this. So what you're getting is the top list has the majority of what you need, and then it goes down to that. And so we have our beef, and our beef meal is the first two. Then you got your pork fat as number four. Tapioca starch, which is a high version of carbs, but again, it's needed in order to actually make the kibble. And this is why we talk about doing other types of food to help your dog not have to process that kibble so much. Now, before we get into talking a little bit of raw, frozen, dehydrated, whole foods, adding foods, I do want to touch on that. I may have to come back and do that in another episode, but I do want to touch on it. But before I do that, there's just one more I want to talk about, because again, it's all about this advertisement, the way they advertise. So that list that I found about our favorite foods, our favorite top foods that we sell on our website, which are all kind of crappy foods. Well, they have one that is the best adult food for teeth, to help with teeth. And I have a real issue with this, because the majority of the reason why we have dogs that have plaque and tartar is because of the amount of starch that they're having to crunch. The bigger the piece of food, the more they have to crunch it, the more starch that gets on their teeth. And dogs don't have what they need in their saliva in order to break that down. And so it gets caught up on their teeth. I'd much prefer my dog to just swallow very small pieces of mini size kibble because they're not having to crunch it. And it would be the same size if they were crunching anyway. So why do I want to get these big, large pieces just for them to crunch? If I want to clean their teeth, I'm not going to give them something that's going to cause plaque. I'm going to give them something to break that plaque and tartar off, like a good chew bone. So this food, they call it, it's the medium breed dog is anything but ordinary, and they can benefit from extraordinary nutrition to help them perform their best. And it says completely on the front of the bag about, oh, teeth health. It's really going to, you know, break up that dog's plaque and tartar, and it's just, so let's go look at the ingredients before I just kind of scream here, because it just absolutely drives me crazy. All right, so our ingredient list for this food, and I'm not going to name the brand, but the ingredient list: chicken byproduct meal. So remember when I say chicken and chicken byproduct meal, that chicken, it's the whole chicken before cooked, but then your byproduct meal can be anything off that chicken, like toes and beaks. Then you have corn, wheat, chicken fat, ground grain, sorghum. Do you see anything healthy? Do you hear anything healthy about that? I don't either. And it's dedicated to healthy, active lives is what this bag says. There's nothing on here that's going to create any type of health in the dog. Let's just look at a couple of ingredients. We're going to look at the ground grain sorghum and the dried plain beet pulp. These are two ingredients I want to point out and just talk about for a minute. So ground sorghum it's a grain. It's gluten-free. It does have good nutrients, as long as we're not cooking the crap out of it, right? It does have good protein. It is a plant-based protein. It's got your fiber and vitamins and minerals. So it is something that you're going to find in a lot of the foods. And it may put your protein source up. It's not packed full of protein. It's only about 10 grams per half a cup. But still, that's a part of that protein percentage that we're looking at. Dried plain beet pulp is a derivative byproduct of sugar. They do extract the sugar from it. However, I do feel like there is going to be some sugar left in there, but it's mainly used for fiber. It's a lot of fiber for that. So those are the couple little extra ingredients we can look at when we're looking at food so that you can understand a little bit more of what's in there. There are just a lot of different ingredients that you need to look at. And even though beet pulp is used as a fiber, there could be some dogs that have problems with it, just like potatoes. I was feeding sweet potatoes to Willow, and when I got her test back, she can't have potatoes. So I really encourage, if you're not sure about your dog, I highly encourage you get a 5-strand sensitivity test. Link is in the show notes, so that you can understand what your dog truly needs and what you need to avoid with your dog, what's causing these issues in your dog, whether it's gut health that's causing behavior problems, hyperactivity, inability to rest, complete the stress cycle, solid sleep, learn new things. These are all things that we need to consider when we're looking at what we're feeding. So now that we've kind of talked about the ingredients, kind of all over the place a little bit there, because there are, again, it could be a 6-week series if we really got into food. I just want to touch on these things. And I think what I'm going to do is break this into two parts. And next week, I'll talk about what actual behavior issues we see from the food that people are feeding, and see if that kind of correlates with any of yours. But just kind of, let's just kind of sum everything up from what we've talked about today. One is kibble bad. It's not bad. It's just not the best. If you're going to feed kibble, you do need to feed a high quality kibble, which means you're going to have to fork out some money. But a lot of these high quality kibbles are going to have higher caloric intake. So you might want to buy a bag of food that costs you $40, but if there's only 325 calories per cup and your dog needs 1,200 calories, you're feeding a lot of that food. Whereas if you, which means your dog is having to work harder to digest what their body is not really built to digest, that amount of starch and carbs and grains. If you feed a food that may cost you $80 a bag, but there are 485 calories per cup, you're going to be feeding a lot less. So your dog's not going to have to work as hard. Don't just look at the price you're paying in the lump sum. I want you to really think about how many calories per cup, how much does my dog need, and what can I do to make it as easy as possible for my dog to digest. If your dog needs a little help with digestion, probiotics, prebiotics, I'm not going to get into that because there is so much information. I truly would need someone else to come on and communicate that, because there's just a lot of different things to look at, and not every probiotic or prebiotic is the right one for our dogs. I do recommend you do a little research on that. And when in doubt, reach out to a holistic veterinarian. Reach out to Rita, the canine herbalist. I'll put her link in the show notes. Reach out to her. She will do a consult with you and help you get on the right track for the best thing for your dog. Whether that's using different herbs, a food change, or, you know, finding the right probiotic or prebiotic for your dog. Is raw dangerous? Is feeding raw food dangerous? It is not. It's probably more dangerous to you than it is for the dog. Our dogs have such a short intestinal tract, and their system is so much more acidic than we are. They can handle raw meat, unlike we cannot. They can handle raw meat. I know that people get freaked out with raw, so just think about, if you don't want to feed raw, you can cook it. Right, cooking is going to deplete some of the nutrients, vitamins, and minerals, but it's still going to be a healthier version than kibble that has been really cooked and really depleted with a lot of kind of synthetic additives put back in. Can you mix kibble and fresh food? Absolutely. Highly encourage it. Do it every day. So right now, I do feed a kibble. I feed Willow kibble, and actually Myers and Isabella are on kibble as well. I feed Elements Nutrisource, which is 500 calories per cup, so that she is not having to digest as much. She gets the small bites, so she gets about a cup to a cup and a half a meal, and then we add in fresh meat. So we cook pork loin, pork butt, we'll do beef, turkey. And we just add that in. And typically I'll add in 5 to 6 ounces depending on what protein she's having. And that is part of her meal. So it's not ever just kibble. She's getting kibble with fresh meat. And if I have anything else that she can have, I can chop that up and I will add that in. So feel free to add in some carrots or chopped up broccoli if your dog likes it. Some blueberries, some strawberries. If you want to cut those things up and add those to your dog's kibble, absolutely wonderful. They're very low in caloric content. They're flavorful and they're very healthy. If you're not sure what your dog can't eat, you can do some research online. And you can find a good list of what is okay for your dog and what's not okay for your dog. Strawberries are great. Just don't feed the plant part, the green part. Cut that off. Should I rotate proteins? I do encourage rotating proteins if your dog can handle that. It's typically every third bag I will change proteins if I have a dog who is capable of handling that. Because Willow has sensitivities right now, I have to kind of limit the change of protein that I do with her, but when I do change it, it's typically changed in the fresh form. So instead of changing the kibble protein, I'm changing what I'm adding. Like I said, we'll add beef for a week, we might add pork for a couple of weeks, and then we go back to turkey. And so we really get a difference in addition of protein there, but it's healthier protein. I don't overcook it. I try to cook it light. My dogs are not into the raw. I just never got them into that, which is fine. It's not the end of the world. I just don't cook it very much. I cook it just enough that I need to. Why does my dog have chronic diarrhea? If your dog has chronic diarrhea, they might need extra fiber. Or again, I'm really always going to push, that's probably not the right food for your dog. Because think about it, if you're having diarrhea, then there is something that's not being absorbed in your stomach. So we need to look and see what that is. So getting that test, the 5-strands test, I'm really going to push that. And I'm probably going to do it once a year for my dog. Because what they tell you to do is avoid those ingredients for 6 months, and then you can slowly start adding them back in. And it's about moderation. It's not an allergy, right? It's a sensitivity that over time is going to create inflammation. And there are some sensitivities that are enough to where one time they eat, it's going to cause the inflammation. But there are a lot of ingredients that just have to build up to cause those issues. But if we don't know what those are, we're going to continue to keep our dogs in this kind of fight for their immune system because they're having to fight all this inflammation. If your dog's itchy all the time, they're telling you, hey, we're not doing well, right? If your dog is having a problem to every grass and tree out there, then you probably have an immune system issue, right? It all starts in that gut and making sure that immune system is healthy. I am not going to go into any more because I think if I do, this thing is going to keep going for 2 hours. I've already, I know the recording is almost an hour. I have been recording this for like 2 hours because there's a lot of information in it and I don't want to confuse people. It can be very overwhelming and I thought, well, this episode could at least give you some bullet points and hopefully not be too overwhelming or too confusing, that you can grab some information from it to at least get your brain thinking, is my food the right food for my dog? Is it the right food? Is it a quality food? Is it even a good food? What are the top 5 ingredients? What's the caloric intake? How many calories should my dog be eating? I don't think I have that on the website. If I don't, you can always email me. I'll be happy to send you the caloric intake, but you can also look it up on what your dog should be eating for his weight, his age, and activity level. And I always like to minimize the amount of kibble my dog's body and stomach is going to have to process and try to use. All right, so we want digestion to happen easy. Next week, I'm going to come back and I want to talk about behavior problems that we see and how gut health and the nervous system, stress, all play a part to create either a calm, wonderful, relaxed life or a system that is constantly on the verge of fight or flight and suffering from pain and discomfort and irritability. We know how much those things change the brain and how it's wired. So this is kind of part one. I'll come back for part two next week and we will talk about that and how you can start using food to make a little bit of a difference in your dog's behavior. And of course, we're not going to talk just food to change it because it doesn't stand alone. Food doesn't work in isolation. We do want to talk about kind of the behavior aspects. And I might touch base on the energetics of food. I'm still really learning myself. So sometimes it helps me to communicate to you guys about it because it helps me to just reinforce my thoughts. I may talk a little bit about energetics of food and how feeding hot food to your hot dog can cause issues. And I know it can get very overwhelming, but just hang in there with me. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I hope you've got enough information to get you going on finding that right food. Don't forget, you can download our food recommendation list through Dog Speak Geek. You can also just look up what you should be feeding your dog. And if you don't know, feel free to reach out to me. I might try to get it put on the Dog Speak site, the Dog Speak Geek site, so you can have a free download there as well. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, please shoot us an email, info@dogspeak101.com. Love to hear from you guys if you have any thoughts. If you have a topic you would like for me to talk about, let me know. And I'm going to put together a little blog on what we've talked about today is going to go into the newsletter for tomorrow. So if you're not signed up for the newsletter, please do that. And I appreciate you guys so much, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your week. Please stay warm. Please stay safe. And love you, neighbors.